The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, we're into a bit of a apocalyptic literature imagery, as it were, and the language is really meant to be pretty symbolic, yeah, or perhaps highly symbolic. The idea is that, of course, conflict is coming to a head, and Jesus has already given us some sense of what this means and what it looks like, in the sense that he's already, say, been marked out as adversary of the prevailing regime, and he's not running away from that confrontation and that conflict. You know, we hear in that first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel about the kingdoms and the rest. Jesus actually uses the image of the stone hewn from the mountain without the human hand that will smash the kingdom, the kingdom, say, that is indicated in the prophet Daniel that is built on intermarriage. Jesus indicates that, no, this is really the uneasy alliance of his opposition, of his adversaries at the time, and that stone will become the cornerstone. Remember that line. And so Jesus's kingdom will in fact confront and overcome and certainly perdure beyond the kingdoms of the world. And the kingdom specifically that opposes him and that sees him through to his unjust trial and execution, right, to his death. But he's saying that is the moment in which the kingdom is overcome and his kingdom is inaugurated, so and will grow to full stature as we go. So Jesus is already giving us, you know, all of that stuff that is perhaps a bit clearer than what we encounter in this passage. And as we get to this passage, it's kind of the expression of turbulent times, witnessing, say, in the heavens, the fact that there's conflict that's boiling and coming to a head. On earth, right? All these things come together, but Jesus at the same time is asking them to not be deceived and to understand that it will be clear when the time of really his vindication has come. His vindication has to include the defeat of the powers that oppose him. Yeah, so it has to be the defeat of the Israel of his day. And it has to be, and just as their power and the center of their, say, religious and national life and imagination is centered on the temple, so too the destruction of the temple is at hand in order to, say, give full vindication to Jesus and his way and his followers. Okay, so the rest of the passage then for us, I think, and certainly as we're in this kind of end of liturgical year and an apocalyptic frame of mind, you know, the idea is that the confrontation, yeah, the clash between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world cannot really be avoided. Yeah, it can't be avoided, and yet we know who is victorious over whom. Right, the kingdom of God will perdure for all ages. Right, it will live and grow through the ages. And the kingdoms of the world, in as much as they oppose the kingdom of God, will be defeated. They'll be overcome. But we find ourselves precisely at, you know, that the clash of those tectonic plates. And the question is then, you know, how are we to act in the midst of that, this particular crunch period? And of course, the answer is to be faithful to Jesus, right? The answer is to trust him and follow him, because of course the kingdom of God and the building of the kingdom of God, that's his work. He's called us into it, and he's called us into it to achieve its purposes by and through our faithfulness. Yeah, that is going to be our success in the kingdom of God work that we've been called to, is that we're going to be faithful to God no matter what comes our way. And then we persevere in love, we persevere in charity, in the places that God has us. And those are, say, the continuation of his victory of self-giving love that was accomplished once for all on the cross, but is now implemented in and through the life of his followers, right? And really of his body, the church. So I don't know. This is just perhaps for me an end is to offer something from my own prayer this morning. You know, when I'm going through Acts, yeah, and I'm praying adoration, I always want to get some kind of image or phrase in my mind about the God that I am worshiping or the God that I am adoring, right? Because I can do my kind of prefatory prayer, which has become, you know, those quick almost mantras of the Ho'oponopo prayer, which is I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Like, I can cycle through that, but I want to get into adoration. And so this morning, and I think it's apropos of the passage we read today, I'm praising the God who does everything that love can do. Yeah, so this is an expression of God's being all-powerful and really omniscient as well. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. But what is it that He knows? What is it that he does? He's doing everything that love can do. Right? He's not doing things that don't include love. He is love, right? So it's honoring who he is in himself to say, okay, this is the God that I'm praising, the God who does everything that love can do. The question is, for me, as someone who's been not only called into existence, but called into the renewal movement of Christ Jesus and the building of the kingdom of God, is my life a reflection of the God who does everything that love can do? So am I committed today to doing everything that love can do? Yeah, this is a big question for us, right? And as all these coming confrontations or conflagrations, whatever, as all these conflicts are coming to a head, am I doing everything that love can do? Because that's what best advances the kingdom of God. And that is, say, the full expression of the life that is not only breathed into us, Jesus, as he breathed his spirit into us, but is also given us in the love of God made flesh for us, right? So that we can, as we're eating the love of God made flesh for us, we ourselves are becoming reflections of that self-same love. We're made to embody the love that is being now poured out into our hearts. So yeah, you know, kingdoms of the world, kingdoms of God and all the rest, confrontations and opposition and all the rest. We get it all in this section of Luke's gospel. We get it all, you know, in the apocalyptic literature that we're going through before the end of the year. The question really is just, are we doing it now, right? We are being equipped to live the lives of great and costly love that we've been called to. Are we making that commitment now? And are we seeing it through by trusting and following Jesus in all things?